Klockan är 16 den 6 april 2019. På Radio Sigtuna 88,2 ska du för första gången på flera år för ett längre program med klassisk musik. Det är den internationellt prisade pianisten Paul-André Bempechat som ska bjuda oss på sin konsert som han framförde i Maria kyrka i söndags. Det är en konsert som innefattar Franz Schubert. Först en sonata, därefter fyra impromptus och avsluta med tre klavirstycke. Paul-André kommer själv att presentera de olika avsnitten. För oss andra är det bara att luta oss tillbaka och lyssna och njuta. Varsågoda.
Hej allihopa, det här är Paul Bempechat, pianisten. Ni ska höra mina programnoter till Schubert pianoafton, men på engelska för att jag har ingen självförtroende att läsa, att översätta till svenska. Ursäkta mig. But anyway, good day to everyone and welcome to Schubert, because today, tonight, whenever you're listening to this, he is greeting us into his heart and therefore into his home. The program I've chosen for Sigtuna represents the composer at his most intimate and at his most confessional. He wrote this music when it had become clear to him that the end of his life was approaching. His health had deteriorated consistently and progressively during the last decade of his life and provoked him to write letters of the most utmost poignancy. And I quote from two of the letters here. "I'm the most unhappy and miserable person in this world. My health will never improve, and in such despair things will only become worse instead of better." And he writes again, "The brightest hopes have come to naught. To whom the joy of love and friendship can offer nothing but pain at most. Every night, as I retire to my bed, I always hope that I would not wake up. Yet every day the morning breaks into the pains of yesterday's wounds." And the program consists of the great and final last piano sonata in B-flat major, which is an icon of the piano literature, and the four impromptus of opus 90 and the three Klavierstücke, all three written in the last 2 years of his life. And the great B-flat sonata has remained, along with the so-called little A major sonata, until the 1970s, the Schubert sonatas, which one heard most often, along with the Wanderer Fantasy, which is a very big, rambling, virtuoso piece. The thematic relations among each of the four movements, as well as Beethoven's works, notably in the finale of this sonata, relate to each other. And some claim that his last movement here in the Schubert B-flat sonata was inspired by the opening of the finale of Beethoven's string quartet, opus 130. The relationships abound. But rather than dwelling on superficial allusions, one must recognize the importance of the evolution of Schubert's technique of cyclical composition. And this technique dates back to the cyclic mass of the Renaissance, which employs a unifying leitmotif. And this tradition has long been perceived as religious observance. Now, Schubert came from a very religious family, went to a very religious Catholic school, and broke away from it. Had apparently quite a hedonist lifestyle, and he came back to religion progressively in the last years of his life. Boiled down to their essences, the motives uniting and actually governing each of these works is the psi motive, ta-da, 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 for example, with excuses for my lousy voice. It governs each and every movement, the psi motive. And compounding the intensity of this motive are Schubert's persistent triplet figures, both melodic and accompanimental. Cannot one sense to this insistent symbolism that this was the composer's return to faith and preparation for it? I share with you a memory from my days as a professor in Gothenburg at Musikhögskolan. Many years ago, one of the senior piano students confessed an inability to relate the last two movements, each sprightly and energetic, to the first two, which are both very profound and introverted. I did not wish to add to his conundrum, and I proposed what I thought was a simple solution: to imagine the first two movements as taking place here on earth and the final two in heaven. Well, this is not very Swedish reasoning. And he yelled at me and said, "Gratuitous." A week later, he said, "It works. I feel how it registers, but I don't know why. I just feel it works, what you said." And he rambled on and on and was very unhappy that I had proposed something esoteric for him who had his feet well on the ground. En jordnära kille, som säger man på svenska. The moral of this story, and related to Robert Schumann's celebrated quip about Schubert's Ninth Symphony being of heavenly length, one can ramble on and on and on about the interaction between mind and gut in Schubert. The sole resolution is that it works, because he, the composer, awakens the infinitesimal variations of the human spirit.
Thank you.
And now on to the four impromptus of Opus 90. Performing the four as a unified group or as separate pieces remains a source of debate among music historians, theorists, and of course pianists. It is the summoning opening of the first impromptu, a great big loud G in four octaves, announcing that a story, possibly an autobiography, is to unfold. And this provides for this author, that would be your humble servant, me, the answer that this group must be construed as a cycle. The second impromptu's sickly sweet playfulness one can conceive as a lighthearted scherzo, which in Italian means a joke. It's usually the third movement of a sonata or symphony during this period in music history. But it is anything but a joke. It nestles expressions of bitter frustration and fury between playful outer sections. The third remains Schubert's most performed and for some most beloved single work for the piano. And the final impromptu presents interpretative challenges far beyond the innocence of its conservative harmonic language. In fact, this work is the most conservative harmonically of everything you'll hear tonight or today in this program, depending upon when you're listening. Choosing the appropriate tempo presents the most formidable interpretative challenge. Does one transform these broken chords into a virtuosic work, or does one value each note of each broken chord as melody? Deciding in favor of the latter demands intense concentration and attention to the delicate balance between the hands, as each seems ready and willing to outvoice the other. And this, for me, is a kind of symbolic conflict within Schubert. He was a very tortured, very conflicted man psychologically all of his life.
Thank you.
The three Klavierstücke, Deutsch Verzeichnis 946, were also composed during Schubert's last year, were added posthumously in 1868 by one of his greatest admirers, Johannes Brahms, who was born in 1833 and died in 1897. They have since the late 20th century been performed as a cycle, as intervallic motives cross from one into the other. They emblematize, for me, the happier days of Schubert's youth. The first Klavierstück in ABA form, Rollick's one could consider to be a horse ride in the countryside, into a serene operatic aria, oscillating major-minor key shifts between motives and entire key sections. Again, the major-minor, the glad side of Schubert with the unhappy side of Schubert, all juxtaposed. Schubert cast a second Klavierstück also in five sections, though never discarded any, because Brahms had inserted back into the first impromptu a section that Schubert had discarded. This is the longest of the three, structured in superternary form, ABA, CDC, with a recapitulation of the A theme. Its opening and recurrent A section heralds Mendelssohn and his Songs Without Words in one of Schubert's most hopeful evocations in the style of a Venetian barcarolle. The B section recalls the opening of the lead Im Dorfe, in the village, from Schubert's final tragic Lieder cycle, with his poignant and provocative evocation of dogs barking. The D theme may well be considered one of Schubert's most poignant, combining the tragic with the nostalgic, returning inevitably to the hopefulness and nostalgia of the opening theme. The finale, one of Schubert's most optimistic creations of his final years, is in simple ABA form. The other sections alternate their theme in canonic syncopation between the hands, and, reflecting the good-natured Viennese temperament, are distinguished by highly effective mirror writing between both the hands. The middle section, a set of bittersweet compound variations in dance-like settings, projects the solace-seeking composer at his most intimate, possibly reflecting the halcyon days, the better days, yearning for a comfortable home and a warm hearth to which he could return. And this, essentially, is Schubert. Warmth, intensity, discipline, a love of family, and a love of God. And with this, I leave you with the music, which is far more important than anything I could possibly say.
Thank you.
Let me share a personal reflection here. It's actually very closely related to Sweden and Belgium. The late King Baudouin of Belgium, who was born in 1930 and died in 1993, was the son of Leopold III and Sweden's Princess Astrid. Just 29 years old, she perished in a tragic car accident in Switzerland in 1935, when Baudouin was only 5. All his life, because of his stifling, gilded environment, Baudouin longed for the intimacy and the emotional security of family life. His wife, the Spanish-born Countess Fabiola de Mora y Aragon, miscarried 5 times. She would never give birth. The pious Catholic couple never overcame their grief, but transformed it into love for all children. On the grounds of the royal palace at Laeken, just outside Brussels, Baudouin and Fabiola would welcome children from all communities for a day of good food and good cheer. Often asked why, he best elucidated this happy day as a proclamation of their faith, and famously wrote, quote, "We understood that not having had children ourselves, our hearts became free to love all children," unquote. And as we conclude this music of Schubert with his last Klavierstück, let us look about this beautiful and meaningful setting of Sigtuna, the parish, Maria Kirkan, Stiftelsen, and Gamla Sverige allmänt. And let us remember that for our higher power, we are all children at heart, each to be nurtured, each to be loved here on earth, as in the life to come. And it is with this music of comfort that Schubert from on high has welcomed us into his soul, and in so doing, he helps us shed light upon our own.
Vi har lyssnat på en konsert med musik av Franz Schubert, framförd av pianisten Paul-André Bempechat, som besökte Mariakyrkan i Sigtuna den 31 mars. Han ville gärna dela med sig av sin musik och av Schubert med Radio Sigtunas lyssnare. Och därför har vi nu sänt det här programmet speciellt för dig som tycker om Schubert i synnerhet och klassisk musik i allmänhet. Så går vi över till den vanliga informationslingan i väntan på nästa schemalagda program.